movies. You know, I like to watch good cinema, you know. Good. But lay it aside. Lay the care for those things aside. The concern for those things, put it aside. God will provide. He will provide your needs and more. But lay it aside and enter into his rest and enter into his labor. Let us work on the things of God. Let us bestow earnest care and concern and even fear on God and his rest. I don't want to fear, oh, I mean, I've done this. I don't want to fear my bills. I need to pay my bills, my credit cards, my electric company, and all. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay them. I'm afraid. We need to be not afraid of that, but we need to be I'm afraid I won't enter into God's rest. I'm afraid of leaving behind the promises of God. I'm afraid. So what do you do when you're afraid? Well, I got to work. I've got to bestow labor and care. So let's bestow our labor and care on the things of God. And he will take care of the other. As far as let him take the care of it on him. Do the work you have to do. So let's not fall after the same example of unbelief. We've covered that very thoroughly. Let's believe the promises of God. Let's labor to believe them. Let's labor to obtain them. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Verse 12, this is a verse everyone loves. The word of God is quick, which means alive. It is powerful. That means energous. We get our word energy from it. It means active, operative. It is powerful in the sense of it's energetic. It has, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit. What, you know, I remember I used to think like, whoa, what's that mean? It's very simple. What happens when your soul and your spirit are divided? You die. That's what happens. The word of God can kill. That's what it means. The word of God can be spoken and kill. It can literally kill. That's how powerful it is. That's how energetic it is. It can kill. Well, I can see a skeptic saying, well, let me see you do it. Well, this guy, you know, I mean, something can be done. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm that skillful. But it's there. I think of the prophet Elijah when these 50 men came out to take him. Right? And they said, man of God, you're coming with us. Something like that. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour you and your 50. And it did. You know, and I think of the prophets and the book of Revelation when it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths and devours their enemies. You know, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And the Lord in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, he says, this is not my word like as a hammer and like a rock, like a fire. It's not my word like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. God's word as a fire comes forth to devour his enemies. And in many ways, I mean, it does kill. Really. The letter kills, but the spirit makes alive. The letter of this word can kill people. And it has. Beyond those miraculous sense of like, I'm going to say the word of God to you and you die. No, what it is it kills in the sense of, let's say, whoever lies with a beast shall be stoned. You know, in the Old Testament. There are laws in the Old Testament that literally the word of God killed. Because it said, if you do this, you die. So apart from direct, the word of God is sharp. It says things. If they will enter into my rest, right? Harden not your hearts. Because if you do, you're going to die. The soul that sins, it shall die, saith the Lord. The word of God kills. Say, well, Paul, how do you know that that means when the soul is divided from the spirit, dies? Well, because there's an interesting example of death in Jesus Christ, where we can find out what happens to the soul when you die and what happens to the spirit when you die. Because the book of Ecclesiastes talks about how when it uses all this sort of allegorical language to say, you know, when the silver cord is loosed and the golden bowl be broken, then the spirit returns to God who gave it. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. He doesn't really say anything about the soul, though he does say the dead don't know anything. So if the dead don't know anything, well, what about the spirit? Well, he said, well, the spirit is alive. But then does he mean the dead body? Just the dead body? Is the person? What about the person? Well, as we know, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter says that David is not ascended into the heavens. And that's no marvel, because in John 3, the apostle says that no man hath ascended into heaven, except he that came down from heaven, Jesus, he, Jesus, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So, no man has ascended. All that are in their graves are going to hear his voice someday, and they're going to come forth. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. But when Jesus died, it is written of him that it says, thou shalt not leave his soul in hell. Jesus was buried, and his soul was in hell, meaning it was in the grave. Because hell in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word that he translated hell, is literally all it meant was the grave, meaning when you die, you're buried.